Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love and thy mercy and thy great goodness. We thank thee, Father, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our hope of glory. We're thankful, Father, that you're an available God, that you're a good God and a long-suffering God and a forgiving God. We pray that you help us, dear Lord. Please forgive our many sins. Help these sick and shut-ins that we've mentioned them all here and called them all by name. We know that you love them more than we ever could, and so we trust them into your hands. Father, we pray for Margaret Wadley and Felicia Zuckerman at the death of their dear brother, and we pray that you give them an extra special amount of thy love and care this week, and hug them real close and make them feel better, Father, and help their hearts not to hurt as much. Please be with Linda Redd at the death of her dear dad, and please be with Deborah Rodriguez at the passing of her mother. Have mercy on us, Father, for we're sinners. We ask that you continue to bless our radio ministry, bless our internet ministry, bless our feeding program today as we go forward to feed the poor. Bless those that give and those that take, Father. Help us that we can be a light to the lost world and salt to our whole community. Have mercy on us, Father. We trust only thee to save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our great jail chaplain is going to come right up and give us a report. Eddie, come and tell us about the jail ministry.
Well, Brother Kelly, we've already hit our 1,000 mark for the year and still got 4 months to go. At the Gurney unit, 716 men, over 207 units at the Lane Mary unit, and 147 at the Hutchins unit. One of my helpers from South MacArthur Church of Christ, Johnny Suits, called me this morning, and the same thing that happened to me a few months ago, he got a letter in the mail from one of the inmates at Lane Mary, which that's where he helps me at. He goes cell to cell, and he'd got a donation from one of the inmates for $150, you know. So I've said, and maybe this thing is getting catchy, you know. So y'all just keep us in prayer, and hopefully we'll get able to have an aftercare program soon that we're working on. Thank you.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We're really thankful for this. They're going right now today, as soon as we're through worship here, he's going to the Dallas County Jail and teach people in Dallas County Jail. Him and Charles are going to leave and be gone here in just a few minutes to the Dallas County Jail. So any of y'all got warrants and want to turn yourself in, now's a convenient time. Now you can get a ride right down there. Larry, come up, brother. I have asked the church, I nominated Larry to set him apart as an evangelist of Christ 2 weeks ago. We announced it last Sunday, and so we want to give you an opportunity. Has anyone approached you with any reason that you should not serve as an evangelist of Christ, Larry?
Not yet.
You know any reason that you shouldn't serve an evangelist of Christ?
No.
God bless you. Let the church stand, please. If you approve of setting Larry apart as an evangelist of Christ, please be seated. Let the record reflect it is 100% approval. We're going to set him apart as an evangelist, as a 12-step counselor and associate song leader to serve under Danny Binion in the singing program here. And so come, Larry, and let's have a prayer. Let's all our hearts be joined in prayer while we pray for Larry and for his great ministry before us. Our Father in heaven, have mercy on us. Bless us. We're so thankful that you've already had mercy on us. I'm thankful for my friend that you've sent my friend, Larry Richards, and I pray that you bless him and help him. Set him apart now to this ministry that you've called him to do. We know that his heart's in it. We pray that you give him now boldness and strength that he might go forward to teach and preach, to tell all that he meets of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let Larry speak with you for a few minutes now.
Kelly said he wanted me to get up and say something, and I don't really know what to say. I'm reminded when I was a small kid, my first memory is of being in church, and there was a preacher got up and he said, well, I just can't really find a good subject to talk about this morning. And there was a little kid with a little New Testament like I carried, and he said, well, maybe you can find your subject out of here. And so I love this church. This church has loved me. Kelly, you love me? And it says we'll overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. So part of me, this word of my testimony is my process of overcoming those things and those hurdles and obstacles that I have had to overcome. This church has loved me through my addiction, through me going to prison. Eddie visited me in prison, came out there while I was at Hutchins for a whole year, studied with me every Wednesday night, didn't you, Eddie? We sang, we had a great time, and we felt the Spirit of the Lord. It was a wonderful time. My first memories of being in church when my feet wouldn't even touch the floor. And my dad, great-granddad, great-granddad, and his dad were all preachers. And, you know, it's good to talk about the word of our testimony, but what we want to talk about, we want to find our subject in here. I have a testimony, and there's time to give it, and there's a time to come straight out of the Bible. You know, it's biblical to tell our testimony because Paul did in Acts 22. He told what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, there was a miracle of grace that happened in Saul's life, as he was called at the time. And we're all familiar with what happened on the road to Damascus that caused Paul from going. He was going north, and in the first verse there of 9th chapter of Acts, he said he was breathing threatenings and slaughter. 6 verses later, after God performed his work of grace on him, he was trembling and astonished, and he asked, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" And that's my question this morning, and I hope it's all of our question. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Now, I know that was a work of grace because Paul said it was a work of grace in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And I stand here in that same situation. Only by the grace of God that I am what I am. I'm not worthy to stand up here. I can just be just as sorry and no good as anybody can. Were it not for the Spirit in me, I would not be worth the price of a bullet to put me out of my misery. Only by the grace of God I am what I am. And he follows up and said, "And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." I hope the grace that was bestowed on me was not in vain. "But I labored more abundantly than they all." And I want us to labor more abundantly than they all. "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Let him that glory, let him glory in the Lord." I have nothing to glory about. I remember when I was a kid too, the preacher said, you know, they had an argument in Paul's time. Some say they were worshiping Apollos and they were worshiping Paul and so forth, you know. And a preacher when I was a little kid, so one of the few things I remember, he said, "Don't look at me." He said, "I'm not him. Don't look at me." He said, "I'm just a little newsboy standing on the street corner of your heart," he said. And it just melted mine when he said that. Talking about the good news, Jesus. I really am not like Paul. I am in a way that there's been grace. I'm more like Samson. Remember the story of Samson? Samson was a man known for his mighty strength and his marvelous feats. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an axe, ripped a lion in two with his bare hands, and carried the gates of the city of Gaza for like 30 miles. Of course, he shouldn't have been in Gaza to start with, and I shouldn't have been in some Gazas that I have been in. Samson was also known for his weak moral character. And I have one of those too. So I can relate a little bit more to Samson than I can to Paul. At least what Paul was doing, he was doing, thinking he was doing the right thing. I knew I wasn't doing the right thing, Brother Eddie, when I was out doing the thing. And I've gone to Brother Kelly's house at times when I had my tail tucked between my legs and said, "Kelly, I need some help." He knew I was up to no good, and he still helped me. And this church still helped me and loved me through those times in the valley, and they embraced me. You know, there are churches, when you have those times that you're not doing right, don't have anything to do with you. Well, you're bringing shame and reproach upon the church, and we're going to have to love you from a distance. But that's really not love. There is such a thing as loving people from a distance. But this church loved me through those times. And like Samson, I had been given a measure of strength of God. I've been given some natural abilities and some natural talents. And I know a lot of y'all can relate to me when you've heard this. Well, he sure has got a lot of talent and a lot of ability and a lot of potential. A lot of potential. But that is a gift from God, and we have a responsibility to use that. Samson had great potential and great strength given him from God, and when the Spirit of the Lord was on him, he could do great things. He was forbidden to do 3 things, and he did all 3 of them. He didn't cut his own hair, but he put himself in the hands of Delilah, who cut his hair, and I have had my own Delilahs. I guess my Delilah, if I had one, would be named Cocaine. And I put myself in the hands of Cocaine and lost my strength, gave up my strength in the hands of Cocaine. But God has delivered me from Cocaine. Okay, and I know if I continue to put myself in the right situations and the right things, he'll continue to deliver me from that. And I trust in that, and I hope in that, and I have that hope as an anchor to the soul. You know what hope is made of? What is the ingredient of hope? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So that's a pretty important thing, faith is, isn't it? So when Samson went to prison, they gouged his eyes out. He was blind. But as he was in prison, his hair began to grow, and he started recuperating while he was in prison. And I have been to prison. And then whenever they were going to mock him and to make fun of him and spit on him, they were making sport, and they were worshiping their god Dagon, and they were bragging on their god Dagon. And, you know, when I was in the places that I shouldn't have been, they were bragging on their drugs too. Boy, that was pretty good stuff. Look how it's doing him. They brag. Satan loves to boast and brag. But he said, "Put me between these two pillars that I might rest." And he put his hand on the left pillar, and he put his right hand on the right pillar. And you know what he did then? Did he push? First he prayed. He prayed first. And you know what he prayed? I said this in this class this morning, but you know it's funny how the deeper the trouble that we're in, the shorter the prayer. Now, if things are going good for me, my prayer might be, well, I sure would like to get a higher interest rate on my CD. Lord, help me that I might be able to send my kids to college. Lord, don't let the payment be too strong on my car repair bill for my BMW or my Mercedes-Benz. But when we're in trouble, what do we pray? It's pretty short, doesn't it, Brian? Help me! Help! Romans 8:26 says that the Spirit maketh intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. I might not even be able to say help. I might just be able to say God.
Amen.
The Spirit maketh intercessions for us. It's a wonderful thing. What was Samson's prayer? Remember me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. You know, we used to have a song singer here, old James Johnson, and you remember the song. A lot of times he'd sing, do Lord, oh, do remember me. I believe that came right from Samson. Because he said, remember me. It's a powerful prayer, wasn't it? Because Samson killed more with his death than he'd ever killed with his life. Samson was a strong finisher. See, a while back, I looked in the mirror, and an old man looked back at me. Old man looked back at me. That's why it's important that you raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. For when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They'll come back to their first love. In Romans 6:1, Paul said this. He said, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We've all had a measure of grace. Let's not this grace be in vain. Let's labor together. For he said, I have made thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing but yet possessing many things. It's a long sentence, isn't it? But it's powerful. I didn't come to the Main Street Church of Christ to be baptized. I've been baptized several times. Believe me, whenever you're desperate, I was desperate to do a lot of things. But Kelly did baptize me out in this baptistry one time. It wasn't my first baptizing. I didn't come here for the doctrine. I didn't come here for the food. I came here for the love that was bestowed on me. The love that Kelly gave me like a brother when I didn't deserve it. See, it's easy to love somebody that's lovable. It's hard to love people sometimes when they're not so lovable. But Kelly loved me through my valley and my wilderness experience. And now that I'm up here and can see over into the land of Canaan, it's a wonderful thing. I'm honored and humbled by Kelly's and this church's faith in me. And I really need your help. I'll get out of the way now, Brother Kelly. But let's sing that song. Y'all know that song? Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Strengthen me, I pray. Amen.
Boy, he's after all our jobs, ain't he? He's not just after my job, he's after everybody's job. Boy, I'm proud of him. I'm telling you, I'm really proud of this guy. I met him almost 20 years ago in prison. He was a fine convict. There's a lot of difference between convicts and inmates, and he's a fine convict, and I'm proud to know him, and he's a man, altogether man, and he's got my love and my respect. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 19th chapter. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD, and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. Let's drop over to Matthew chapter 19. We're studying the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? We're going to begin reading in verse 10. And his disciples came to him. If the case be of a man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. But he said to them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they whom it's given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there are some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So some people won't get married for the sake of the gospel. And so some people will be single, and that's fact. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, you need to understand that also. It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. So if you have a problem with fornication, you need to be involved in a Christian marriage if that's possible for you. He that's able to receive him, let him receive him. There were some brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And we've been studying this subject all the way back from Isaiah 2, when the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be established during the last days. And he said that those people would become converted, that they'd beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, showing the peaceful nature of the people in the kingdom of God and in the church of Christ. We're going to become converted and become as little children. It's not going to happen overnight. God's not going to wave a magic wand over you and make you like Pat Boone or Mr. Clean or any of that. It's a growing process, but you're going to become converted. If you're really converted, you're going to become like a little child again. And he laid his hand upon them and departed thence. And behold, one came to him and said unto him, good man, Master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And those were the thinking of the Jews, that you did something to inherit eternal life, that you had to work and earn and merit eternal life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, see, Jesus can see right through us. He knows all about us. He can see right through him. And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. This young man was rich, very, very rich. And what were the disciples like? They were very poor, weren't they? And so Jesus couldn't bring a very, very rich person in. Among these 12 apostles who are going to become apostles, he would be so different than them. He would be set off separate from them. Jesus couldn't allow him to come in and become a disciple of Christ, become an apostle eventually with those riches. And it was like a pack weighing him down. It was like a backpack on his back, keeping him back from all that he could be. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this term here is a rich man. Who is a rich man? Mark explains it to us in his parallel verse found in Mark chapter 10, verse 24. It's one who trusts in riches. It's not just a rich man. It's one who trusts in riches. That's the rich man Jesus is talking about. One who trusts in riches. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus uses this parable to show the greatest of improbability. You know, there's very few camels going to get through the eye of a needle if he meant it literally. If he meant it figuratively, the eye of a needle was a gate in Jerusalem, and during the day, they had the big double gates. And so those were shut at night, and there was a small gate that people could come in during the nighttime in and out of the city. And the military authorities did that so that the city wouldn't be open to assault, that it wouldn't be open to be taken at night by some strange army, some foreign army. And so camels went through that gate every night. They just had to take their packs off. They had to take their burden off. They had to get rid of of all the load that they were carrying, and a camel had to get down on his knees to go through that eye of the needle, as it was called, which was a small gate in the big double gate that was shut at night. So Jesus is not saying that a rich person can't be saved. He's saying that they have to unload themselves of that burden. They can't trust in the riches to save them. They have to unload themselves of that burden, and they have to get on their knees to get through there to get into the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at it again. Verse 24. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, showing the greatest improbability. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. See, the Jews believed that riches showed that God was blessing you, and if you was poor, God must be cursing you. And so that's the way the Jews thought, and that's not the way God thinks. But when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said unto them, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration." Now let's stop right here and turn to Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." These are the only time in the New Testament that this word regeneration is used. Nowhere else in the New Testament is these words used. So it's used to refer to Christian baptism. When a person becomes a Christian, it's used to refer to this washing of regeneration, and you receive the Holy Spirit at that same time. Now let's go back here to Matthew chapter 19 and go over again what Jesus is saying here. "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration," when this kingdom of God in the church comes, in this regeneration period, in this church period, in the kingdom of God, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he's not coming back at the end of time to sit on the throne in his glory. He sat on the throne in his glory 2,000 years ago when he rose from the dead. He was seated at the right hand of God, Acts chapter 2, verse 29 and 30, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. It's not talking about the end of time when Christ comes back. It's talking about him sitting on his throne 2,000 years ago, and Jesus has been on his throne for 2,000 years now. Psalms 110, verse 1 says, "But sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool for thy feet." Jesus has been seated upon the throne of David for the past 2,000 years. So what's he saying here? "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration," when this church age comes about, when people are saved and regenerated, "when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory," during this whole church age, "ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, this can be taken one of two ways. Either the Jews are going to be part of the judgment at the end of time, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I understand it that they're seated upon their thrones now, in that they have written for us the inspired Word of God, the completed New Testament. They are sitting upon their thrones judging in that sense, in that they have given us the Bible. Their words still work. Their words still carry fire. Their words are still important. "And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life." Inherit is something that we have an expectation of receiving it. You haven't received it yet. You have an expectation of receiving it. An inheritance is like my father passes, and so I have an inheritance, and I don't have it until he passes. And so then I have the expectation of receiving it. after it goes through probate and all those things, I have an inheritance coming. So it's the same thing. We now have the expectation of receiving this great inheritance that shall receive a hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. Anything, God has 100 times better for you than anything that you've given up or anything that you could give up. It's 100 times better than cocaine, Larry. Huh? Ain't that something? Man, if you can get a blast off that pipe, you can really get a blast off of heaven. I'm telling you, man, this has got to be wonderful. This has got to really be wonderful where we're going. And the scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things that God hath, past tense verb, it's already happened, hath prepared for those that love him. This universe was created, let there be light, and God spoke that into being, and it's out there. You know, people ask me, since I've become a Christian and a preacher, you believe in spacemen, men from outer space? No, I don't. No, I don't. You know what I believe? I think we're first. I think we're first. And I think God is going to use that entire universe that he has created, all of his great creation he has made since the foundation of the world, and he has created that, and he had us in his mind before the foundation of the world. Just think, there are billions of stars and billions of worlds out there. No telling what God has out there. We can't imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, beam me up, Scotty. It's really something here. This is wonderful stuff. This is better than cocaine. This is wonderful stuff we're going to. Cocaine's just a delusion of the devil. Just a delusion of the devil. You know, drugs in the New Testament, the word sorcery in the New Testament comes from a Greek word, pharmika, that we get the word pharmacy from. And so sorcery in the New Testament is to take drugs and practice religion. That's what sorcery is. Not just to take drugs now, but to take drugs and practice religion. That's what sorcery is. And so it's wickedness, and we need to flee from it. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, what in the world could that mean? Let's jump right into chapter 20. This is an unfortunate chapter break. The original Bible, as it was originally written, was written without chapter and verse distinction. So the translators, when they made this chapter break right here, they chose an unfortunate place to put this chapter break because it doesn't need to be there. The sentence is carried on. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And what is the vineyard? Well, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7 tells us very plainly what the vineyard is. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And so what is the vineyard? It's God's people. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder that went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Wages was a penny a day, like 17 to 18 cents in our money. Now that might have been big money back then when nobody had any money at all. You were either extremely rich or you had nothing back in those days. And so they agreed with him that we're going to work from 6 in the morning till sundown at night, and we're going to do it for a day's labor, for a day's wages. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. Notice he didn't settle with them about a pay. He didn't say, I'm going to give you half a penny or three quarters of a penny. If it's the third hour of your life, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, there's still time for you. You can still come to the vineyard of the Lord. There's plenty of room in the kingdom of God. And what's right? Notice that, right. And they went their way. And he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. About 12 o'clock, noon, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and hired more laborers. And he told them, what's right's what I'm going to give you. He never told them how much. He said, what's right. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. You go down here on Ross Avenue, and you can see the Spanish people, the Mexican people standing down there waiting, hoping all day long. You can go there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'll find painters wanting to work that stood there all day long idle. And it's just like that, Jesus is saying. They said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard. And whatsoever is right, notice again, he said, what's right? He never told them, I'm going to give you 2 cents, or I'm going to give you a tenth of a penny, a mill, or anything. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when evening has come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call ye the laborers and give them their hire. And see, this is according to the law of Moses in Leviticus 19, verse 13. It says, pay your laborers every day. Don't let your laborers' money rest in your pocket overnight. Pay them every day. And so this is according to the law of Moses. Give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. Bring this guy first who's just worked 1 hour and pay him first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. The wages was the same. The wages was the same. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Isn't that the way we are? Suppose that we get more. I'm thinking, man, I've worked all day long. You going to give this punk the same thing you give me? And he hadn't worked. He hadn't hardly broke a sweat. He hadn't been here but an hour. You going to give him the same thing you give me? Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and now it's made them equal unto us, which is borne the burden and the heat of the day. That means something, working out there in the summer, man, out in the sun. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that that thine is and go thy way. And I will give unto this last even as to thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil? And envy is talked about in the Bible as being an evil eye. Is thine eye evil because I am good? And that's found in Deuteronomy 15:9. So the last should be first, and the first should be last, for many are called and few are chosen. Hey, isn't that wonderful? He just said that back here in Matthew 19, verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What's it like? What is the penny? Well, let's go back to Matthew 19 again and look right here. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. What is the penny? Everlasting life. That's what God is going to give you. Everlasting life. How about those people who worked all day in the vineyard, and this guy here comes at the last hour, and he's going to get the same thing I get? It just doesn't get any better than everlasting life. That's what's available to you. That's what's available to me. Everlasting life. It doesn't get any better than that. Let's look down at our last verse then. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many are called, and few are chosen. What does that mean? The gospel calls all men. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is calling you. It's saying, come, come. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is calling. Many are called. Many hear what I say today. Many on the radio will hear what I say today. Many on the internet will hear what I say today. Many are called, but few are chosen. How do you get to be part of that chosen few? Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. For broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The straight gate is the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the manifold wisdom of God, God's eternal purpose that He planned before the foundation of the world, is the gospel. The Bible teaches that if you believe that gospel, there's just no reason for you to be lost. There's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. The Bible says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on His name. So if you're here this morning and you believe it on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God is now giving you the power to become a child of God. You have that power. It's found in the gospel. If you will believe the gospel, trust the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you need to be willing to add a little faith to that, because the book says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. What's the difference in faith and belief? It comes from the same Greek word, pistios, but it has different English meaning. One English word won't explain it. I can believe this chair right here will hold me up. Man, it's a sturdy chair, big sturdy chair, and I'm not nearly so fat that I'd fix that chair. That's a sturdy chair. And you can look at it and examine it and talk about it forever, and all I've done is run my head about this chair. I hadn't sat down in this chair. I'll never demonstrate any faith in this chair until I sit down in it. It's the same way with Jesus. You can believe that there was a historical event in history in which Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. You can believe that, but until you flee to Him, put your faith and trust and confidence in Him to save you, you'll never be saved. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith needs to become your platform that you build on. Trust with reliance in God. Not because I feel saved this morning, but because God said it and I believe it. Jesus said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you believe that this morning, there's just no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. The Bible talks about we need to confess Christ before men. The Apostle Paul says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you need to make oral confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to be willing to repent of your sins. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. The times of ignorance God has winked at. But now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What does repent mean? It means that you're sorry for doing wrong. You're going to try to do right. You're just going to try. You're going to do your best to serve God. Even though you fail, you're going to continue to serve God even when you fail. The Bible talks about us being baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So what is this baptism? Just as Christ died on the cross, God wants you to die to sin. Just as Christ was buried in a grave, God wants you to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Just as Christ rose from the dead, God wants you to come up out of these waters of baptism and walk a brand new life, a regenerated life, one that has been renewed by this washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You could just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing? Bless you, Calvin. You know how I've been praying for you a long time, brother. And I'm so glad to see you coming this morning. Glad to have you a member of this church.
My heart.
God bless you, brother. Glad to have you. Sit down out here and fill that card out. I'm so glad to have you. If there's sin in your life, come now. There's still time. Come on.
There's toss and snare.
Yep. Stephen, God bless you, brother. Love you, man.
Yes.
Bless you. Praying for you. Hold your car. Chuck, what'd you come for, brother? You want to be baptized? Good for you, Chuck. God bless you. Hold that car. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Come now, for sin in your life, you need the Lord. Come while we continue to sing. Been coming here, Calvin? About 3 months. I think it's longer than that, but I'm sure glad to have you. I take you home every week. I'm so glad to have you, brother. You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, sir.
You believe that he lived, died, buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures?
Yes, sir.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ is Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Go in right over here and we'll baptize you right away, brother. Steve, turn around, face the church. How long have you been coming here?
About 4 months.
About 4 months. We're sure glad to have you. Steve, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
You believe that he lived, died, buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures?
Yes.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Go in right over here and we'll baptize you straight away, brother. Truck, I love you, brother. I love you. We've known you a good while, too, hadn't we?
Yep.
You slept on my porch for a long time, hadn't you, brother? Huh? Slept on my porch. He's a night watchman around here. He kept them copper thieves off the roof, I'm telling you that. Amen. Truck, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? You believe that he lived, died, buried, and rose again the third day, according to Scripture? If you'll go in right over here, you want to confess Christ as Lord, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Amen. Go in right over here and we'll baptize you right away. Michael, we're sure glad to have you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, brother. You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You want to confess Christ as Lord, say, Lord Jesus. You believe that he lived, died, buried, and rose again the third day. Amen. Go in right over here and we'll baptize you right away. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Well, that's a record. First time that we've had four come and all of them baptized. Praise the Lord.
Based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins.
Praise God! Praise God! Praise God!
Based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Based on your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father,